welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Amen. I'd like to take a chance. If there's anyone with a word or a vision they'd like to share, welcome to do that. Open the mic for that. Umet, if you don't mind, can you please share what intercession, just those two pictures, do you mind? You can go first. I just want Umet to share what came in out in intercession, because it's very relevant.
The first picture was like a child on daddy's shoulder, but it was like, it looks so fun and sitting on the shoulder. And should I explain what it is?
Oh, please.
And we felt that, we felt that when the child is on daddy's shoulder, you see broader picture, you have broader perspective. And also, as a father, it's not like, you see father strict and stuff, but he's fun, and he carries the shoulder, and with the protection as well, he lifts up his child. That means he protects from, just being on the shoulder. And another picture was, as I was anointing the windows, I saw, like, blood. I'm covered with blood, Christ's blood, and as I touch the thing, the window I touch, covered in blood. As I walk, I touch and covered with blood. So basically, this is where we stand as a Christian. We are, Jesus paid, he gave his blood, and we carry that authority as we touch the people. Everything around us gets touched by the blood of Christ. Basically, it's the authority that we have as children of God.
Thank you, Umet. Okay, so keep that in mind. I wasn't at the intercession, and that's so powerful to me. So I came in and I just asked her what they prayed about. So keep that in mind when I'm preaching, because that's the power of God. You know, I wasn't there, so I didn't orchestrate it, but God is definitely involved.
Okay, guys, while we were worshiping, I just heard the Jehovah saying El Shaddai. So I was now Googling what El Shaddai means, and it basically says Lord powerful. It's two roots to it. It says God powerful and sustainer. So I don't know if it's a word for somebody here that says that God hears you and he will sustain you. I don't know if you're sick or if you're worried about something, but
And he's serious, because he came to ask me what El Shaddai means, and I said, I don't know. That's why I Googled it. This morning I'm just going to take those three words and we're going to interweave it. It's like a trilogy. Christ, the mirror, and the veil. And it's like a biblical version of C.S. Lewis's The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. So I'm just going to take those three words. I've got three key scriptures, and that's it. Okay, so I really trust that God will speak to you through this. I've heard Angus Buchan say that revival is not coming. Revival is already here, and that revival is in you. And Christians, we like to believe it's coming. But Christ says, no, it's already here, and guess what? It's in you, and it's in the form of Christ. So keep that in mind as we go. It's got five questions just to get our heads warmed up and our hearts. First of all, do you believe that Christ is in you? Is it simply a mental belief, or does it impact your life? In what ways does it affect your life? Why do you think Jesus would want to dwell in us? And what should our response be to God in all of this? Okay, so I'm going to come back to these questions. I think they're very relevant, and some of them are easy to answer and others not as easy. But our key scripture this morning is Colossians 1, verse 27. And before we continue, I'm just going to pray. Lord, we thank you for this morning. We Thank you that we can sit here together as family, as sons and daughters, to not listen to me, Lord, but listen to you, to open your word, break it, eat it, and be satisfied, Lord. We are human beings, but we are also eternal beings. And I ask in this morning that you will show us eternity. You will show us Christ in us and the amazing power, and just give us a further revelation of who you are in us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are literally going to unlock a mystery of the ages. And I can say that is because the Bible says this is a mystery of the ages, and it's been hidden. So we are unlocking something very powerful. I don't want you to underestimate it. I don't want you to think, I've heard this before, I know what it means. Because even as I prepared, I got a deeper revelation of this. And I have received revelation of this many times. And so I don't think there's an end to the depth of this revelation. So I want to challenge you not to switch off and say, okay, I know this scripture. Trust God to go deeper. I really think there's no end to the depth hereof. From the New King James, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Now Paul wrote this while he was in prison. It was Philippians, Colossians, Ephesians, and Philemon he wrote in the prison. So just as a context and background to this, listen to the Message version. This mystery has been kept in the dark for a long time, but now it's out in the open. God wanted everyone, not just Jews, to know this rich and glorious secret inside and out, regardless of their background and their religious standing. The mystery in a nutshell is just this. Christ is in you. Okay, and then next slide. So therefore you can look forward to sharing in God's glory. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. I'm challenged lately by bringing the gospel back to the basics in my own life. I realize there's a lot of levels and you can go into a lot of detail and philosophies, theories, all of it's true and truth. But the power lies in the simplicity of our gospel, not in the high ends. You know, and if you listen to powerful preachers, they will never preach on this high theories and this high revelations. They will just preach on the essence of our message. It's that simple. That is the substance of our message. Just the previous slide, it says, the mystery in a nutshell is this. Christ is in you. Okay? Very basic, but we're going to discover more of that this morning. So, once again, I asked you, do you believe that Christ is in you? And in which way does this affect your life? Again, some of you might have heard me using this example, but let's take John here. John, can you please stand? Okay, so most of you know John. While we're sitting here, a messenger runs in from the back with a little envelope, gives it to John. It's like, where's John Weber? Eh? Where's John Weber? It's all point to John. Gets the envelope, he opens it, and there's a letter from royalty, the royal family in Scotland. They say, John, we made a discovery. You were swapped with another baby at birth. You are actually royalty. You must please come with us now. The helicopter is on the rugby field. You're going to Scotland, and you're actually going to rule. You're going to take over. The castle is waiting there. Do you think his life is going to change? Yes, in a dramatic way. Do you think he changed? You know, who he was all the time? No, he was royalty all the time. It's just this understanding of who he is that changes his life. So in the kingdom, many of us live as slaves. We live with a poverty mentality. But guess what? We're not sons of Scottish royalty. We are sons and daughters of, you know, eternal royalty, God's royalty. We are his children. And many of us don't understand that. And you can get, like I say, the depth of that revelation is unending. But this morning I want us to understand more fully who we are in Christ. Why? Because that's going to change the way you live. It's not going to change who you are. You're already that. If you're saved this morning, if you're spirit-filled, you are in Christ and Christ is in you. But we need to get rid of our poverty and our slave mentality. So that's my prayer for us this morning. So just to get back to that scripture, there's three components. It's Christ. He's the essence of it. Okay, the sweetness of the message is that Christ is in us. And the outlook is that we can share in His glory. I'm going to get back to how we share in His glory. So that's part one in our trilogy. And let me just reflect before we go further. Next slide. If you look at that, just look at that while I say the following. Christ, the ruler of the universe, shares His glory with us. Okay? He has chosen to share His glory with us. And He's made it possible for us to experience Him. Not only are we saved, but we also have the power and authority of Him in us. We won't just rule in heaven, we'll rule on earth. He's given us the promise and the ability to rule on earth. You know, it's like a sponge in water. The water is in the sponge, but the sponge is also in the water, and that's the way we live. Christ in us, and we in Christ. And then just to reflect again, it said the hope of glory, meaning there's more to come. I think many of us can get entangled, or we all get entangled into the worries of this earth. We've got payments to make and children to raise. And you know, life isn't always easy. It's a fact. But there's hope. The hope of glory, there's more. And we need to realize that we live with one leg in this earth and the other leg already in eternity, which makes it difficult sometimes. But that's why I enjoy church. Because in moments during worship, you can just realize, listen, I am a spiritual being. Okay, and then Monday comes, and then you need to remind yourself that I am a spiritual being. Because the emails flood in, and the calls come in, and the stress. But that's life. It's actually a privilege of life. Okay, let's move on to part B, the mirror, beholding the glory of God. Key scripture here is 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And I said we're going to interweave this message, so you're going to see similarities, you're going to see keywords on all three parts. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. But we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, so let's look at unveiled face. This is the mystery of our hope. It's no longer hidden. It's been unveiled. And part three is the unveiling. As in a mirror. Okay, so as you look into the mirror, who do you see? You see yourself. Okay, but in this context, you see Christ in you. And I'm going to illustrate it a bit better hereafter. So you don't see yourself. You see Christ in you. Okay, and then as you look to Christ, we are being transformed from glory to glory. We are being transformed. It's this process. It's our hope of our glory. And then lastly, by the Spirit. It's only God who can transform us. Now, this Greek word for mirror is, let me just look at my notes, katoptritzoumai. Okay? It's actually a very rare verb. It's only used once in the New Testament. And it's got two translations. The one is to serve as a mirror, meaning to reflect. And the other one is to behold oneself in a mirror. So if you look at it from the NIV and the Message, it talks about us reflecting God's glory. And the second part is seeing God's glory. Just back to that. Seeing the glory or reflecting the glory. So I know this might be difficult for you to understand, or just cognitively. So I've brought an illustration with. So what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, we are being transformed. Then the Greek translation, to serve as a mirror, to reflect, or to see the glory. So if you think of it like this, there's two translations or two interpretations. So either we This is God. We reflect God's glory. You understand that? So we reflect God's glory. So I'm going to shine. See, John? See? Okay, so we reflect God's glory. It works. And or we look into the mirror. You don't see yourself, you see Christ. And as you behold Christ, you are transformed into that same image. Picture I almost get now is, have you heard people who've been married for a long time, they start looking like each other? Have you heard that? And then have you seen it? I've seen it. It's usually people that's very old and in love with each other. It's never people who don't like each other. But if they love each other, they literally start looking like each other if they're 80, 90. And that's exactly what this is. As you look into the mirror, you see yourself, but you see Christ in you, and you are being transformed into that image of Christ. I trust that this will hit home. So we reflect His glory to others to see. So we are the mirror. We reflect, or we look into the mirror. Don't see yourself. You see Christ in you. And as you see Christ in you, you are being transformed into that same image, which is really powerful. And we reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into the likeness with ever-increasing glory. Listen to the message. Whenever they turn to face God, as Moses did, God removes the veil, and there they are, face to face. They suddenly recognize that God is a living, personal presence, not a piece of chiseled stone. And when God is personally present, a living spirit, that old constricting legislation is recognized as obsolete. We're free of it, all of us. Nothing between us and God. Our faces shining with the brightness of His face. And so we are transfigured, much like the Messiah, our lives gradually becoming brighter and more beautiful as God enters our lives and we become like Him. The essence of our gospel. It's as simple as that. As I read this, I can literally feel how that old constricting legislation is removed. And I want to, while I say that, just encourage you guys. I've had two quite dramatic experiences with friends in the last few weeks. They saved, but they're very, they've hardened their hearts. And the reason for that is for fakeness. It's for people, saved people that are not real. And I'm so challenged following those discussions because they challenged me in the process that we must be real. There's no purpose in playing church. No purpose. As a matter of fact, it usually takes someone a few months or a few years to realize whatever is fake in church, and then they're gone. Okay? So the more real you are, the more likely you are of really discipling that person. So I want to encourage you, be real in your small groups. Be real in church. If you smile, let it be real. I'm not saying don't be friendly. But this happy, I call it happy, shiny people. I once had a, maybe I can't tell, this is too close to church, or this congregation. Let me just keep that. All I'm going to say is that happy, shiny faces, if it's not real, life will catch you out. And then you're caught in a very wrong position. So rather be real, then no one can ever catch you out. Then you are who you are. So there's never something you need to hide. Sorry for that. I think the example is just too... Maybe you know the person. So for New King James Version, 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face, now in part, but then I shall know, just as I am also known. Now, I read up on this. We must remember in the olden days, they didn't have glass mirrors. It was polished metal. Okay, so you can imagine that. You need to polish the metal, and then you can see yourself in it, and there's dents and whatever. So thing with this in context is, or the illustration is, if you get out of the shower and there's mist in the bathroom, you go up to the mirror, you usually can't see yourself that nicely. So you've got two options. Either you go closer to the mirror, you know, when there's mist, you go closer and you can see yourself better. or you must wipe it. And this morning, this is what we're doing. We're getting closer to the mirror. We're getting closer to this vision of God. We need to do it continuously. And we're also wiping anything that's in our place. So we need to get closer in order to become more like Him. Just to recap then on the mirror, four keys. As we behold and reflect Him and His glory, we are changed. It's not about beholding ourselves, and I want to make it very clear, because I've heard skewed sermons on this beholding God's glory in you. It can easily become a thing of you are glorious. And I've heard that. So some preachers take it, and then it just goes slightly in the wrong direction, and then it's on the wrong track. So please, not beholding ourselves, but God and God in us. So we need to believe who God is, and then we believe that He lives in us. Thirdly, the key to being transformed is to look to God, as I've said. And then the two aspects to beholding and reflecting is the distance from the mirror and the clarity of the mirror. Lastly, in our trilogy this morning, is the veil. The law torn and lifted. Matthew 27, verse 45 to 54. Who of you have seen the Passion of the Christ? Okay, has everyone seen it or not everyone? Not everyone. Okay, so I can encourage you to watch it. Because first time I saw the Passion, I literally had to sit outside for half an hour. I couldn't walk because there was a lot of like scripture that suddenly made sense to me. And this was one of them, Matthew 27. Now from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? Some of those who stood there, when they heard that, said, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a reed, and offered it to him to drink. The rest said, let him alone, let us see if Elijah will come to save him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth quaked. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. So I'd like you to stand with me. I'm going to show you a video clip. And before we see it, one of the greatest wonders after salvation is the fact that the veil was torn. Right? I want to see, is there any Orthodox, qualified Jewish priests here this morning? No one. No Orthodox, qualified Jewish priests. Guys, the reality is, none of us in this room would have ever experienced the presence of God. No one. If it wasn't for this moment where Jesus tore the veil so that we can experience His presence, no one of us would have ever, we would have sat here, it would have been all law, we would have read a piece of scripture, gone out, no experience of God. So I want to just encourage you with the amazing, what do you call it, the amazing privilege we have of walking in here, experiencing the Holy Spirit and walking out again. We forgot what happened. Jesus tore the veil, and because of that, we could enter the Holy of Holies. So I've just cut a short piece of the movie, The Passion. I've had to cut it a bit more. I wasn't sure if there would be children here because some of it is quite violent. So I'm keeping it less violent. And yeah, just be reminded that this section, Corinthians, we all with unveiled faces are being transformed into His image from glory to glory. Okay, let's look at it. Okay, so you just remain standing. I'm going to end off and just say that a Christ vision is a matter of between life and death. Okay, in Numbers, the Lord spoke to Moses saying, "Send the men to spy out the land of Canaan, and which I'm giving to the children of Israel." So they went out and they came back and they saw, no, they saw the descendants of Anak. But then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up once and take possession, for we are able to overcome it." But Joshua and Caleb remained alive of the men who went to spy out the land. So what I want to say to us this morning is, I want to encourage you to see yourself the way Christ sees you, but I also want to urge you to see you in this way, because it's a matter of life and death. So if you don't see yourself, if you see yourself the way Christ sees you, you will live. You will not just live, you will rule. You will have authority, not in heaven, heaven and in earth. So, just lastly, I want us to close our eyes. Just open the floor for some ministry. So if there's anyone this morning that cannot relate to this, you feel like, yes, I hear you, but I don't see myself the way Christ sees me, I want to say the following over you. So you don't need to raise your hand, but raise your hand in your heart, or, you know, just say, "God, yes, that's me." I want to declare that you are able, Philippians 4. I want to say that you are Abram's offspring, Galatians. You are accepted. You have access to his presence. You are adopted. You're alive. You are set free. You are anointed, 1 John. You are the apple of his eye. You are justified, Acts 13. You are royalty, Romans 5. You are his workmanship. You are his worshippers. So, if there's anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus, I want to ask you to please come forward while we worship now. And I want to pray with you for salvation, because then you need to meet with Jesus. If there's anyone here that's not met with the Holy Spirit, also want to give you an opportunity. Come save and spirit. Lord, we thank you this morning that you are alive in us.
You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming his glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.